Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Mari, for sharing that those thoughts and then that ministry that you're involved in. How many of you find that when you're younger, it's really hard to be able to identify with people and suffering and pains and challenges that they go through? You know, and you look at yourself as, you know, not being as vulnerable as other people. And then as you get older, you realize, boy, you know, I'm just like everybody else. Have you guys experienced that in your life? When I was a lot younger, I listened to the stories of all the older people, and they're talking about their aches and pains and their doctors and their prescriptions. And I thinking to myself, as I'm younger, I'm looking at that and saying, when I get old, I am never going to grumble about my health. I'm not going to talk about doctors and medicine and all those kinds of things. And I'm finding out that what intrigues me the most right now is how to stay healthy. You know, I'm thinking, what happens in life, and I this goes along with a message I want to bring this morning. What happens in life is that God gets us more in tune with ourselves, our real self, as we get older. Because we realize all the flaws and the weaknesses and the problems that we have in our lives. And we can identify with other people a lot more than when we were younger. I hope you see that in your life. That's one of the reasons. You know, when I first came to Christ and gave my life to the Lord, I wondered, why doesn't the Lord, because we have so many temptations in this life, so many problems we face, if the Lord wanted me to receive him into my life, receive forgiveness, and have eternal life. You know, that was one of the major pursuits in my life from the time I was a five-year-old person, little kid, that I wanted to find out, where am I going to go after I die? At 15, I found out, and I thought, why doesn't the Lord just take me now to get to heaven? And that's because there's a process that all of us have to go through in our lives. And we're in probably the greatest season in the life of the church, apart from Easter, that we can meditate on why Jesus came. And I think it's important for us to understand that, you know, because we have all kinds of reasons. I mean, if I surveyed you right now and asked you, why did Jesus come? You know, you'd have all kinds of different answers. But one of the answers is that he came so that there's no excuse that we have when we go through problems, difficulties, struggles, challenges, losses, disappointments, whatever it is that we face in our lives. We can never look at God and say, you don't know what it's like. Maybe other people might not understand, but we can never point a finger at God and say, why did you put me in this situation? Because, you know, you're God. You're far away. You're invincible. You cannot fail. And then he points us to Jesus, who came into this life. And the great news is that anything you go through is what God has gone through. He chose 2,000 years ago. And this is the marvelous message of Christmas, is that God came to identify with our lives. I mean, that is so mysterious, impossible, yet it happened. That God came in human flesh, lived the life that we lived, and walked through the processes of growth. You know, I can't imagine that as a baby, and I want us to this is the first this is the first announcement of Jesus in Luke, the second chapter, and I just want to read it through. But when Jesus came, it's really hard for me to grab hold of this thought that God reduced himself to a little baby and was like any other baby. You know, I don't think Jesus was an adult in a form of a baby. you know, so that he could think and he could speak. You know, he didn't walk around and was a very intelligent person that he could talk with everybody. You know, he wasn't a little adult. He was actually a baby and had to go through the process of learning. And so Joseph poured into his life, into his brain, into the building of his culture, into his language, all that he learned. And he had to go through the whole process of life and development, just as you and I have had to go through. And I don't know when it was, somewhere in the process of his growth, 2 years, 4 years old, I don't know when. You know, I tried thinking about myself, when was the first time I was conscious that I was alive? Have you ever thought about that for yourself? You know, what was your earliest recollection of an event or a thought? You know, and I probably can go back to maybe 3 years old, something like that. You know, anybody can remember anything before 3 years old in your life? You know, so I think for Jesus, somewhere about 2 or 3 years old, he began all of a sudden to realize who he was. And then go through the whole process, you know, of realizing I'm part of this family, and but I'm special, I'm God, I came from... And he had to develop just like all of us in our lives. What was the purpose for all of that? The purpose for all of that was that whatever struggle you go through, whatever difficulties you face, whatever challenges that you have to go through in your life, whatever weaknesses and flaws you see in yourself, whatever failure in health and relationships, that somehow Jesus can say, I faced all of those things. So that we have somebody, if we don't have a human person that can say, I understand what you're going through, God in Jesus Christ can say he's gone through that. So let me read this. This is Luke, the second chapter. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And all of us are familiar with this. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. So I think that's God's message to all of us, whatever it is that you face in your life. Whatever emptiness, disappointment, discouragement, loss, whatever failure, whatever weakness. So don't be afraid, whatever it is that you're facing. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Can you switch that to the next slide? I'm trying to change it with this. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You know, not a king born as a baby in a beautiful palace, a royal mansion, but a very humble child come into this world. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. What was that good news, the goodwill, what brings peace into the world? And I really believe this, not only that Jesus didn't come because we needed education. You know, he didn't come as an educator. Jesus didn't come in order to set right the government systems of the world, even though eventually that will happen. He didn't come as a politician. You know, Jesus came as a savior in order to forgive us of our sins. That's really important. But in doing that, one of the major things he did, and this is what the scriptures say in the book of Hebrews, that God took priests from among men. This is in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. God took priests in the Old Testament under the Mosaic covenant in the tabernacle of Moses, because he took men who could understand the weaknesses of other men. And God did that in Jesus Christ. So that the scripture says, there's nothing you go through, there are no weaknesses that you face that Jesus cannot understand exactly what you go through in your life. Then we just switch that to the next slide. Okay, we face challenges that test our hope in five major areas. Just want to go through this real quickly. The first one is, and this is taken from Luke chapter 5, verse 52. But I don't know if any of you have done this in your life. Have you kind of surveyed your life? I was going to ask how many. About 3 weeks ago, I was in a church with a lot of young people, and I asked, how many are over 70 years old? And there was only three of us. I was going to ask the same thing. But you know, it would be really good for all of you to take a look at the chunks of time in your life when you can evaluate what it is that God is establishing in you, the lessons he's trying to teach you, and what is the message that he wants to communicate through your life. Because all of us have a message, some kind of message that we want, that God is building in our lives so that our life becomes a message. And this is something that we did, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where we took a look at 10-year chunks in our lives and looked at the high points and the low points in each of those 10 years. And I was shocked at what God was doing in my life through each 10-year period. And out of it, I realized there's a message God is creating inside of my life to be an example and a model so that not only can I teach certain things, but I have lived my life in such a way that my life is an example of it. And when I take a look at the general pattern of my life, basically, this is what I see. That the major emphasis God has taught me in my life is that life should be lived in balance. And there's five major areas of involvement in all of our lives that is going to get tested. Every single one of us will get tested in those areas. We will find failure. We will find ourselves up against a wall. We will find huge, huge obstacles that we're going to have to face in each of these areas. And I began my life walking with Jesus Christ at 15 years old. I started ministry at about 22. And all I wanted was to serve Jesus with all my heart. I didn't care about money. I didn't care about family. I didn't care about my future. I just wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. And I can remember an insurance man coming to my father's home. I was still living at home at that time, some part of that time, and wanting to sell me insurance. I said, I don't need insurance because God's going to take care of me my whole life. You know, I had to change what I saw about that when I was about 45. But that was the attitude in my heart. And I was getting paid $25 a month, didn't even care about it. You know, but what the Lord began to just show me, just piece by piece by piece, was the importance of everything else. So I'm just going to show this to you. This is what I believe all of us go through in our lives. And we will find challenges for each of these areas. The first is our faith. You know, is there a God? Who is he? Where is he? How can I know him? And there'll be temptations to just close God off if things go bad in your life. The second thing is the area of, so this group is working now, is fitness. I believe this is in priority. How many of you heard me speak about this before? Five major areas of priorities in your life that needs to get balanced. And lots of times what happens is we get into an extreme on one thing and forget and neglect the others. And that's okay for a period of time because we need to concentrate our attention to learn the important principles and lessons in that particular area. So faith was the first thing in my life. Fitness, I think fitness is the second thing. Because if you're not mentally, emotionally, physically healthy, regardless of what else happens in your life, you're not going to be able to enjoy retirement income, being able to travel, your children. You know, nothing in life is going to be able to be enjoyed without health. Yeah, so fitness is the next important thing. What challenges that in your life? And I believe that there's going to be many things that challenges that, and you're going to have to learn the importance of, and we're in our senior years, and we've got a senior ministry going on right now where we meet every single week from 10:30 to 12, and we talk about 20 minutes of that is devoted to health. And I'm, from the time I was 45 years old to now, so that's a good chunk of decades, I've just been learning lessons after lessons about what makes a person healthy and how you can live long and you can live well, healthily. And I believe that, Lord willing, you know, God can take me at any time, but I believe I'm going to live healthily and with a sharp mind. My body is going to be able to function well. I heard about a 160-year-old man working out in the fields, harvesting his farm the other day. And I thought, at least I'm going to be able to live to 100, healthy and long. My goal is 120, because that's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 9. No, chapter 6. Chapter 6 says the length of man is going to be 120 years. We have not been able to achieve that because we don't understand. Okay, next subject. Faith. I can go on for hours on this. Faith, fitness, family. The greatest loss in anybody's personal life is not your health or your job. If you lose your family, that is greater than any other loss that you have. That's emotionally what will happen to a person. That's how they will feel. Okay, so family is important. And there's going to be all kinds of things that will challenge that in our lives. Is my wife here? Oh, she's back there. Shucks, I can't tell the story now. I was going to tell it anyway. This morning, she was up early. Very, very unusual for her. I got up at 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock. She was already up, and I was thinking, why is she up so early? You know. And so normally she gets up like that or can't sleep because she's drunk coffee late in the day before. And so I was making my coffee at about 5 o'clock, and so I said to her, did you have coffee last night? And her response was, oh, I don't want any, thank you. And I realized, even after 46, 47 years of marriage, we still have a communication problem. And that happens in my relationship when she's talking to me, you know, that I misinterpret what she says. And I'm so glad that we got over being mad at each other for not understanding each other to the point where we can laugh at each other and laugh with each other. You know, I think it's really, really important. But you never get there without going through the whole process of getting mad, getting angry, getting upset, getting frustrated, and somehow working through all that, and you just realize, boy, we love each other more now than we ever loved each other before because we went through all those tough times together. And that's what God's trying to do in all of our lives, in our relationships, in our homes, in our families, in our life with Him. Okay, family. Faith, fitness, family. I can keep on going on that one. Finances and the challenges that we face in our financial arena. And can I make enough? Can I be generous? And then fruit. And I look at fruit this is, I call this my five F's of a balanced life. Fruit is how you influence other people in career, how you serve people, how you bless them, and become an asset to your employer or your company or the employees that God has given to you. And how well are your gifts being used, and the challenges that is going to come, that we try to be like somebody else rather than how God made us to be ourselves, because we admire other people so much rather than just looking at who we are. So when I take a look at my whole life, this is my message to people. You know, don't get so hung up on one area that you just neglect everything else in your life. And faith, your relationship with God, is the single most important core ingredient that needs to be there in your life, because God made you who you are. And in our relationship with God, He can guide us in every single one of these areas of our lives and teach us because He was like us. He lived our life 2,000 years ago, and He gave Himself for us. So I just want to talk about hope for the next few minutes. And I put hope in a kind of acronym that kind of hopefully it can stick in your mind. What are the ingredients of hope? So let me just go through it. The first is health. Am I physically, emotionally, mentally strong? I already talked about that. And this is what John says, you know, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. I don't think that we could live our lives well without being healthy. I mean, there's sicknesses and accidents and different things that happen to us that affects us physically that draws us close to God. But I think just generally, you know, when I get sick and I don't feel well, I don't feel like praying, I don't feel like reading my Bible, I just feel like vegging, you know, just sleeping. And but I think it's really, really important that health becomes a core area in our lives, that we learn as much as we can. I'm still learning. This past year I learned such a critical ingredient on what can avoid every kind of sickness. And I thought, I've never understood this before. And I think God's speaking to us. When I was 45 years old, the challenge to me at that time, after being bedridden for a whole month, was, if you don't know the ingredients to your health today, when you're 65 or 75, it's going to be worse. Understand it now, you know. And I had to learn about dieting, exercise, all the elements that make you healthy in your life. Health. So how can I develop hope in my life? How can I develop hope? What hope is a positive expectation of the future. Regardless of what I'm going through right now, it's a positive expectation of what's ahead. That's what hope is. And in order for me to be able to have that kind of perspective of the future, where I am right now needs to be in a place of health. Because I can't think well, I can't function well, unless I'm a healthy person. Health. I was going to talk to you about my problem with migraine and tension, but we don't have that much time. The second is optimism. What kind of person are you? What kind of attitude do you have towards your life? Are you correct in your perspective of life? This is what Hebrews says concerning hope, that faith is a substance of things hoped for. And what faith is looking positively at what is taking place in your current situation in your life. How do you look at what is going on? And you know, for most of us, if I asked you what was positive and negative in your life, I think that we are geared in our thinking to look at all the negatives before we look at the positives. That's just how we are. You know, we've got a very negative slant in all of our personalities. And we've got to teach ourselves how to look at the other side, so that when things go bad, we think, this is really terrible. rather than, and you know, I faced so many difficulties over the decades, and I might face even more severe things in the future. But there's something that you learn, you know, that there's a tomorrow, there's a next year, and when you take a look at the problems you face today, after you've gone through it, it actually works out for some real positive benefits. You've learned huge, huge lessons. This is how we normally look at life. We look at life as half empty or half full. You know, and you can decide for yourself which attitude you'll take. But it's a lot more beneficial to look at what is the good that's going to come out from the difficulties that I'm facing right now in my life. That's Orville and Wilbur Wright. Dad said their dad was a United Brethren pastor that when his son came to him and said, "We want to build a flying machine," the father looked at him and said, "Only God made angels as the only creatures that will fly. Man will never fly." People. In order to be able to be encouraged so that I can have a positive attitude towards my future, I need people's inputs into my life. Not just my own, because I will twist things. I will be very negative towards myself, towards situations, towards other people. Let us consider one another, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. There's so many times I've walked into church and God says something to me just in the worship time, before the message is even spoken, and it changes my life. And I think that many of us will miss a lot of what God will say when we don't connect with others, connect in worship, open our hearts to hear what God has to say. Small groups are important. Relationships and friendships are important. I'm finding myself going in one direction in life because of one day when I was praying, I was just thinking about a thought, and I happened to mention it to one of my friends, and without even asking for his opinion in regards to this, he just blurted it out, and I thought, that's exactly what I was praying about. I know that's God speaking to me. God will speak through people in your life. And then finally, I'll close with this, empowerment. Who am I depending on? Are you depending on circumstances? You're going to be disappointed. Are you depending upon people? Are you depending upon money? Are you depending upon your health? All of those things will disappoint because it's not under our control. The only thing we can hope to do is get in a right posture in our lives so that we can hear what God wants to say to us so that he can be an encouragement to our lives. Hope isn't a message, it's a person. God willed to make known this mystery, which is Christ, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Hope comes in a relationship with Jesus. If you have never opened your heart and decided to walk with Jesus, that's the first thing that needs to happen in your life. And maybe you've been invited by a friend, someone that loves you, cares for you, has been talking with you about Jesus, and you've never opened your heart to the Lord. That's the first step that you need to take. And that is the step we need to take every single day after that first step. Because in his presence, God gives us tremendous wisdom and insights into our lives because he understands what we go through in our lives. This is the hope that Jesus brings. Whenever you are depressed, frustrated, feeling a sense of being overwhelmed in your life, whenever you feel like people don't understand, this is what God's solution in the scriptures is. This is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in how many things? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So if you're feeling frustrated, you feel like, you know, there's I feel like God gives us kind of like a signal in our hearts that when you feel empty, frustrated, anxious, upset, that you feel edgy in your life, that's God's call, and he's just saying, come spend some time with me. And when you just separate yourself from what you're doing and you spend time with God, it's amazing what happens. Because what's more important than situations changing and people changing and all of the challenges in your life and the obstacles in your life being taken away is what is provided going through this process. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And I like this phrase, with thanksgiving. So what is that? That's looking at everything that God has done that's positive in your life that is a blessing. To be able to say, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you. And you see how God has been so faithful, you just realize, well, what I'm facing, God can take care of it too. Because he's been faithful in the past, he's going to be faithful in the future. And the peace of God, let your request be made known to God. Talk to God about where you're at. And then this is what it says. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The situation won't change, but you'll change. Your heart will change. Your attitude will change. God will come into your heart and give you a calm and a serenity and a peace, so that you know that everything is under control. Is that it? Okay. Let me just tell you the story and we close this morning. Aren't you glad that we have a God that understands everything that you go through? A store owner was tacking a sign above his door that read, "Puppies for sale." Signs like that have a way of attracting little children. And sure enough, a little boy appeared under the store owner's sign. "How much are you going to sell the puppies for?" he asked. And the store owner replied, "Anywhere from $30 to $50. The little boy reached into his pocket, pulled out some change, and he says, "I have $2.37. Can I please look at the puppies?" The store owner smiled and whistled, and out of the kennel came Lady, who ran down the aisle of his store, followed by five teeny, tiny balls of fur. One puppy was lagging considerably behind. Immediately, the little boy singled out the lagging, limping puppy and said, "What's wrong with that little dog?" The store owner explained that the veterinarian had examined the little puppy and had discovered it didn't have a hip socket. It would always limp. It would always be lame. The little boy became excited. He says, "That's the little puppy that I want to buy." The store owner said, "No, you don't want to buy that little dog. If you really want him, I'll just give him to you." Ever feel like that's the value you have in your own life sometimes? By what happens? The little boy got quite upset. He looked straight into the store owner's eye, pointed his finger, and said, "I don't want you to give him to me. That little dog is worth every bit as much as all the other dogs, and I'll pay full price. In fact, I'll give you $2.37 now and 50 cents a month until I have paid for him completely." The store owner countered, "You really don't want to buy this little dog. He is never going to be able to run and jump and play with you like the other puppies." To this, the little boy reached down, rolled up his pant leg to reveal a badly twisted, crippled left leg supported by a big metal brace. He looked up at the store owner and softly replied, "Well, I don't run so well myself, and the little puppy will need someone who understands." Father, this morning, as we come to you, during this Christmas season, we realize that you paid a price way beyond what anyone else would do, just because you saw value in our lives. And we just ask that, Lord, as you gave your life and understand the weaknesses, flaws, and challenges that we all face, that you would help us to realize that we can be strengthened in our life, in our walk, in our relationship with you, so that we can every single day be encouraged to continue on, because you understand far more than we can realize you understand. Thank you for your love. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sending Jesus into our lives and for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said,